Psalm 125. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in should be under one of the chairs somewhere in front of you. And you can find our psalm on page 485 in that Bible. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Let's pray. Father, as we've celebrated what you did for us, as we've had the opportunity to say thank you, now guide us through your word. It is your word that changed our lives to begin with. It was your word that told us about a God who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Better yet, Lord, it's your word that every single day can change our lives and conform us to the image of the one who saved us, Jesus Christ. So, Father, use your word in that way on this Lord's Day. And I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in the late 70s and early 80s, for those of you here who can remember those years, for those who enjoyed listening to music, there was invented and brought to us a new experience. It was called surround sound. How it worked was, instead of having two speakers aimed at you in some way, you could now put four speakers in the four corners of your room and sit in the middle of your room and be surrounded by sound. Well, when I heard about that and looked at it, it sounded pretty good to me. So one day in one of our spare rooms, I mounted speakers on each corner of the room, pointed at the middle of the room. And then I hooked them up to the TV and the stereo, all by wire. There was no such thing as Bluetooth back then. I couldn't wait to listen to the Beach Boys in surround sound. Ironically, although I have a very good memory of installing the speakers and the wiring, I have no memory whatsoever of listening to the music. I guess it was pretty cool. I just don't remember. That's one memory of being surrounded with something. Another memory would go a little further back than that, watching The Lone Ranger on Saturday morning television, watching him apprehend the bad guys. And Clayton Moore, with that booming voice, would yell to someone in the house or in the barn, "Come out with your hands up. We've got you surrounded." And what that meant was you can go out the back door, you can go out the two side doors, you can come out the front door. But wherever you come out, there's someone ready to intercept you. So you best just come out. You're surrounded. Two fairly corny illustrations, simply to introduce us to the concept of being surrounded. For our key thought today is this: the Lord surrounds his people. Key thought: the Lord surrounds his people. Out of this very brief five verse psalm. The central idea is that, found in verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, and notice, from this time forth and forevermore. I'm not sure how you picture that, but for the people who first sang this psalm, it was very graphic for them. They were on their way to Jerusalem. They understood that the final few miles of that journey to the city of Jerusalem could be challenging. Jerusalem sat on a mountain. We introduced that mountain last week, Mount Zion. Surrounding Mount Zion are a ring of mountains on every side of Jerusalem. Now, if you try to picture those mountains, don't picture them as the Colorado Rockies. Instead, picture them something like the rolling Smoky Mountains of West Virginia. That's more the kind of mountains you would find there. But for those traveling to Jerusalem, it meant navigating around or over or through that ring of mountains. You get the picture. With that picture in mind, consider the verse again. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Now, there's a boatload of truth in that simple statement. First of all, it obviously spoke of the Lord's constant presence in the lives of his people. You know, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, led by Moses, they were surrounded by God's presence, pictured in a brilliant white cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire at night. And they knew that that cloud and that fire surrounded his people and protected them. They could step out of their tents and look around 24/7 and say to each other, God has us surrounded. He's here. Now the psalmist paints that same kind of picture, only using the illustration of Jerusalem surrounded by mountains. Certainly it also spoke of protection. We'll speak more of that in just a moment, but it would certainly be a logical conclusion. If you're surrounded by God, any enemy that wants to attack you has to first go through God. And that's a pretty comforting thought, that he has you surrounded. But there's some other thoughts that are included in being surrounded found in other psalms. For example, Psalm 32, verse 10 says, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. The Christian Standard Bible translates that, many pains come to the wicked, but the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him. Now that the term steadfast love, faithful love, is the wonderful Hebrew word hesed. The term that is often translated mercy, sometimes grace, sometimes the goodness of God, and obviously steadfast love, all wrapped up in this marvelous word. Now imagine that for just a moment. As you walk through life here in the Midwest, you do so surrounded by the love, the grace, the goodness, the mercy of Almighty God. It's a prospect that could make every single day of your life a life of joy, knowing that your God has done that for you. Now, as we consider that key thought, there are three things related to it that are important found in Psalm 125. So here we go. Number one, it is realized by faith. Realized by faith. two verses we've read this morning clearly teach this. Verse 1 of the 125th Psalm. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. And again, Psalm 32. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Both of those Psalms remind us very clearly that the experience of being surrounded by God, being surrounded by His presence, being surrounded by His grace and His mercy are for those who trust in the Lord. It's not carte blanche experience for everybody. It's certainly not for those who ignored God and do their own thing. In fact, we see that in verse 5, but those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. That's a totally different experience than being surrounded with His mercy, His grace, and His love. But those who trust in the Lord will find themselves surrounded by God. What a beautiful picture. You know, trusting the Lord is a very common Christian expression. We talk about it almost every week. We sing about it almost every week. Trusting the Lord. We sang about it this morning. I think of one of my favorite old hymns, Trust and Obey. But there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. An old hymn that I haven't sung in quite a while, but a hymn that expressed the daily need for trust. For those of you who love Moody, the tune was written by Ira Sankey. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Then, of course, there's the verses that you know so well. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Now, when we come to the New Testament, we find that the word trust and the word believe are often interchangeable. It is often the same Greek word that is either translated trust or believe, depending on the context, and it makes perfect sense. First of all, you certainly can't trust somebody you don't believe in. And you wouldn't want to believe in someone you can't trust. But Proverbs 3 is very direct. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know that there's no wiggle room there for me or for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With every facet of your being, trust in the Lord. Now, here's where we often fail in the process of trusting the Lord. We fully trusted Jesus to save us, to forgive us, to grant us the gift of eternal life. We trust Jesus for heaven after we die, and for an eternity we can't imagine, but we know will be glorious. But here is where we often fail. Trusting Jesus every day for everything in life. In other words, trusting Him for tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. And I would imagine in a congregation like this that there are at least 5 dozen different tomorrows that you are facing. Are you going to trust Jesus for tomorrow? Trusting Him if my food stamps don't come. Trusting Him when I help my neighbor who's not getting food stamps from my food supply. Trusting him when the paycheck doesn't last the whole pay period. Trusting him when the doctor says, there's something here that concerns me. You see, Jesus Christ is more than a savior. I'm glad he's a savior. It's a mighty great thing that he did. But he's also the one that surrounds you every day. I guess if I were to say that in a way that makes sense, but I don't think it's a word, he's a surrounder. He's not only your savior, he's your surrounder, even though I'm not sure that's a word. At least the assurance of it is promised to those who trust him. But there's more here. There's more here. Number two, results in protection. Results in protection. Again, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. Verse 3. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Now the psalmist uses another illustration of God's protection that would have been very familiar to the first people who sang this psalm. The city of Jerusalem, also known as the city of David, is built on a mountain that I mentioned earlier, Mount Zion. Now understand, Mount Zion is a huge rock that's a mountain. It's a rock from one side to the other. The whole top is solid rock. It's a great mountain to build a city on because the foundations of the city will be secure. But if you're in the well drilling business, you wouldn't want to try to drill a well on Mount Zion to see if you could find water. You'd go through an awful lot of drill bits just trying to get through that rock. But to build a city upon it would result in a very secure city and a very firm and immovable foundation. As I thought about that this week, I realized that Jesus used a similar illustration when he was teaching about obedience to the Word of God. Many of you remember what he taught because when I was a kid, we used to sing what Jesus taught. And it went, I'm not going to sing it. The words went like this. The wise man built his house upon a rock, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the house on the sand went crash. I loved that song as a kid because the teacher would say, make as much noise as you can at the end. And that just played right into who I was. But you get the idea. It's the same picture that the psalmist has in Psalm 125, verse 1. Like the house that stood firm, the one who trusts in the Lord stands on firm ground. Think about this whole thing as one complete thought. You're surrounded by God and his mercy, grace, and love, and he's placed you on a firm foundation, and he keeps you there immovable. It's not in your strength that you stay on a firm foundation. It's all in his. So he has placed you in a firm position. Now, there's tremendous comfort in that. Tremendous comfort in knowing that I'm surrounded by God. He's placed my feet on solid ground. But you might ask me, how about when life crashes down on me? What about the time the doctor uses the C word? What about the time when your boss tells you, we're restructuring and we've eliminated your job? What about the time when you've been hacked on your computer and your bank account is not what you thought it would be? What about the time when there's a policeman at the front door asking about one of your children? What about the time a drunk driver T-bones your brand new car? Pastor Dave, where is God's protection in all of that? Did God stop surrounding me? Let me answer that this way. When Jesus Christ was hanging on Calvary's cross and paying your debt and my debt for our sins, did the Father stop surrounding his Son? When Jonah sank to the bottom of the sea, did God stop surrounding him? When Job lost everything in a test of his commitment to God, did God stop surrounding Job? When Paul and Silas were locked in the inner sanctum of the jail in stocks, did God stop surrounding them? You absolutely know the answer to those examples. In every case, God was still with them. Understand that God's protection is both in the sunshine and in the storm. Psalm 23, verse 4, you know it well. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's not protection from suffering and trials, but it's God's continuous presence in trials and suffering. If I'm martyred or murdered or die in some unnatural way, understand this. My soul is safer than the gold in Fort Knox. I have nothing to fear of my soul. My Lord has it surrounded, and he will take care of it, and no man can take it. Last week, we read Paul's question in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And his answer 4 verses later, no one will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ironclad eternal protection of the soul saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So in the very worst that could ever happen to me, if that did happen to me, immediately, in the blink of an eye, my soul will be with the one who has protected me all along. Verse 3 reminds us that his protection is even there when we're tempted to do wrong. He has multiple ways to do that, but that's for another time. Number 3, we are recipients of God's good. Verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. This is a prayer for God to bless his people who are trusting in him. The psalmist is piling it on here. To the one who trusts in Jesus, God surrounds them with his presence, with his love and his grace and his goodness. To the one who trusts in the Lord, he places them on solid ground. To the one who trusts in the Lord, he now prays, shower them abundantly with your goodness. Follower of Jesus Christ, that is your position right now as you trust in your Lord. This wasn't something just written in a song that went out of date. No, the same God that led the psalmist to write this psalm is on the throne today. He surrounds his people. He puts them on solid rock, and he showers them with goodness. Remember in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. God wants all of you. Nothing less than 100%. Now in verse 4, to those who are upright in their hearts. Put those two together with the greatest commandment, Mark 12:30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. 4 times we have the word all. The Bible didn't want us to miss that. The prophet Samuel's final words to his people of Israel just before he dies, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. We are the recipients of God's goodness as we trust him and serve him and love him with all our hearts. A final admonition in the form of questions. This morning, what is the condition of your heart? What is it in life that your heart is set upon? Is it set upon your Lord and Savior? Or is it set upon the stuff that so often surrounds us? Does God have 100% of your heart? Are you trusting him with 100% of your heart? Or are you ready today to say to God who surrounds you, I surrender my whole heart to you, Lord. I'm tired of living a life as though you don't exist. I'm tired of ignoring you. I will trust you in the sunshine, and I'll trust you in the storm. I'll trust you in my joy. I'll trust you in my sorrow. I'm tired of living a life where I'm ignoring you. Here's all of me. I want the experience of Psalm 125. All in with Jesus. All in with the God who surrounds. All in with the God who does good. All in. Let's pray. Father, some of the things that we've talked about this morning, they are phrases that we so often use when we come to church, but then sometimes forget when we walk out the door. They're part of our Sunday language, but sometimes on Monday, it's just trust in me. It's forgetting that you are the God who surrounds and plants our feet on strong ground, the God who likes to pour abundantly his goodness. And we get through life, try to get through life to the next Sunday when we can sing about trust and obey. Father, forgive us for doing that. And I pray that on this Lord's Day, the first Sunday in November, that it would be a time when each one who has heard your word, not mine, but your word from Psalm 125, would examine their hearts and say, I want what the psalmist talked about. I want to be aware of your presence every day in my life. I want to be able to come to you and say, Lord, it's good to talk to you again today. Thank you for surrounding me. Go with me today. Strengthen me, encourage me, make me bold. Father, that should be 24/7 for the follower of Jesus. So forgive us if we're not there, but give us the desire deep in our hearts on this Lord's Day that this is how I want to live my life going forward. I want to be all in for Jesus. Father, that's not something that I can do for anybody. It's not anything we can do for others, but it's certainly something we can say to you that you will respond to and strengthen us and draw our hearts closer to you. So work in our hearts what only you can do for your glory and your praise for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing a closing hymn. Heavenly sunlight flooding my soul.